What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 69 of Value Town. I'm Chan Man V, and these guys are looking bright and spry after probably playing almost 24 hours with the new cards. We've got Noxious, Firebat, and Devious Cat on the show for the first time. Welcome, everybody. Hold on one second. Oh, I don't know what happened there. Okay, there you go. Go.
Okay, well, for those of you who don't know Devious Cat, she's a moderator on Reddit. You can tell us a bit more about what you do there if you want.
Jump in right away, or?
Let us know. What do you do there?
Exhaustive. But... we moderate, and that means a lot of different things. Different subreddits have different rules, and we kind of just make them up. Makes a lot of people mad sometimes. I'm not wearing my SS patch today, but I am a known Nazi.
A known Nazi, wow. Yeah. Wow. That's not going to get you any fans here, man. No.
The community basically runs itself, but we just try and squash the trolls and engage the community with fun, different discussion posts. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely jump into more of it. We got a whole section dedicated to, you telling us all the trials, tribulations, and maybe some joys of managing the subreddit. But we've got lots to talk about. The expansion is finally out. Just card opening craziness yesterday, and Crypt with like 113k viewers, like somehow, like right from the get go. That was kind of crazy. But lots of goodness, lots of people playing all kinds of decks. So I figured we just talk about just how the day went, and then we would go into talking about some cards, which ones have been kind of surprising for you, which ones have been surprisingly good and surprisingly bad so far. And then maybe talk about some decks. We have a deck, or at least a website that somebody put together that has a lot of the popular streamers and what they've been playing, at least in the last 24 hours. So figured we just kind of take a look at them, you know, just kind of start the discussion based on just the different classes from there. That guy worked really hard to put this web page together, so it's really, really cool. And then we'll talk about some Reddit stuff since we have Devious Cat on. We have Cat here for the first time. It's going to be awesome. This is the first time we've ever had anybody from Reddit. On our show, like any of my shows. So this is really, really cool. And then we'll do some viewer Q&A with you guys, of course. I know last week we didn't get to any, so definitely we are going to get to your questions this week. So tweet those to, just tweet them to @ChanManV, or actually tweet them to any of us, but @ChanManV mostly. And then I'll be able to see them, and we'll get those out at the end of the show. Okay, guys, so expansion came out for everybody yesterday. When did you guys get a chance to, I guess, get into the client? It took me a while because it was so lagged out. Did you guys have any problems with it, Noxious?
I was on like really quickly. The issue was opening the card pack. I ended up buying way too many of them. Like, I don't know what happened.
Me too, dude.
I just kind of clicked the button of like 60 packs until I was tired of it. And then I looked and I had like 700 packs, and I was like, well, that might be a bit over the
700
top.
Packs?
Something like that. I was like, oh, well, you know, fuck it. I'm probably good. And I made Golden Randu and Ren, you know, with the new list. So it ended up being probably not worth it, but
wow. Not worth it, but worth it. Yeah. Wow. That's 700 packs. That's like 25,000 dust or something like that by the end of it, probably. Maybe more, 30,000 dust. That's pretty sick. How about you, Firebat?
Yeah, it was a lot, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't have like any problems at all. Like, usually I have tons of problems trying to log in, but I was able to get right in and start playing. And then, I mean, my first 60 packs, the pre-ordered ones, got no legendaries and all of that.
60 and none? Holy crap, that's terrible.
Typical RNG, you know, but...
Titty time I lied.
So I had to buy more packs and then got to grinding.
So do you have all the legends at this point, or are you still just kind of like playing with what you got type of thing?
I just play with whatever like legendaries I need, and if I need more, I'll buy more cards. Sure, like I got a tournament coming up in like 2 days.
So I'm just, I know, like, right?
Preparing decks for that. So I grinded for like 26 hours, and then took a 2-hour nap, and now I'm here. So like, just trying to figure out what's going to be competitive and whatnot.
Well, definitely appreciate you, you know, coming on the show with little sleep. But yeah, so forget card opening and anticipation when you got tournaments in 2 days. You just got to get them all, right? And Kat, how about you? How about you?
Oh, well, I got memed pretty hard. I did the pre-purchase, and I got a gold boogie monster.
Oh, nice.
That actually happened in real life. No way. Everyone thought I was making it up. I screen capped it. So I just did the pre-purchase, and I'm having a lot of fun.
Did it scare you, though?
Yeah.
Did it scare you?
I haven't dusted it yet. Surprising. It's hard to, you know, get rid of those golden legendaries.
Yeah, actually, it is.
I'm probably going to buy a bunch more, but I didn't want to do it all at once like Noxious did, because I know I'd go way, way overboard. So I'm going to trickle my packs in.
Nice. Definitely nice. Yeah, I think I got myself a boogie monster too in my openings, but I got three Mucklas almost in a row too. That's the worst feeling. Yeah, that was terrible. Speaking of
legendaries in a row, my husband got a gold Deathwing. That was pretty cool. And he did the pre-purchase and got to about 10 packs left. I'm like, oh, wow, great. You didn't get any duplicate legendaries. 6 packs to go, he gets a Deathwing. 3 packs to go, he gets a third Deathwing.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
That sounds really awful.
It's awful and not awful at the same time. Yeah, I mean,
you're mad at getting a legendary,
but it's three Deathwings?
It is a lot of Deathwings.
I got four Malkoroks in a row or something.
Oh, really? I did get a Malkorok. I did get a Malkorok, too.
I don't even know that guy, like, in the WoW lore. I expect to know the name of a guy I have in my legendary collection. I don't know a thing about him. Like, he is just
a complete stranger to me. He is in the lore, though, right?
I have no clue.
Malkorok? He was a pretty tough boss in Siege of Orgrimmar. I rated that expansion. He was
I did not touch it with a 10-foot pole. But...
Okay, so he is in the WoW meta. That's definitely consistent with what they're doing. But overall, yeah, I think I did decently. I usually do really terrible, which I did start doing terrible, and then I like let my daughter open the rest of them, and she did great. So like at this point, I pretty much have all the legends all the cards I want to play with. So
I think there's a trick to having other people open your packs. I was watching Crip's super big stream, and he had Rania open about 20, and she got 2 legendaries.
Oh man, that's pretty sick.
That's nothing. I opened 15 packs earlier today because I was desperate, and I found 3.
What? God, that's weak, man.
There were bad, but you know, I think the paid packs give you more stuff. You know? I don't keep track, but I'm willing to bet that if I pay for my packs with real cash, I get more legendaries.
I think it's right. Every time I buy packs with gold, they're garbage. Because like
I have a ton of tinfoil here. We can probably make a hat.
You know, to be honest, like the ones I bought too, on it, like even with my situation, were better than the ones that I bought. Because I had like 100 and almost 200 with gold in the initial like prepaid, I think. And I got like four legends or something in those 200 packs. Yeah. Something terrible. And then, like, you know, my daughter opened, you know, another, I don't know, 60 or 100 packs, and then she got like 8 of them or something like that, or 7 of them. It was crazy. So, yeah. I mean, maybe you guys got something there. Maybe they totally laced the paid ones with like a better ratio. I'm always getting a ton
not
of epics.
A big one, but
I always get a ton
better,
of epics.
Right? Like, I think that if not the legendaries, then at least the epics, right? We can agree on the epics being just better.
Yeah.
Is that anyway?
Okay. Well, let's actually talk about some of the cards. I mean. So I guess what classes, or actually let's talk about the classes first. What classes did y'all play, I guess, first, or maybe spent the most time with? Farbat, I'll have you start off.
I spent the most time with like the obvious things because I'm trying to make like competitive decks for the tournament I'm going to. So like first thing I looked at was Shaman because it's got so many good cards and so many different things.
Yeah.
One of the cool combos I found in Shaman that's actually like insane is there's this card. I can't remember the name of it. It's a really obscure card. It costs 6 mana, but for every turn that's in your hand, it reduces the cost of the card by 1.
Yeah, the Nurgan Prophet.
The Drake or the Prophet?
The Prophet.
Yeah, Prophet.
So then what happens is you get the either Evolve or Master of Evolution, and you wait until this card costs like 1, and then you play it, and then you Master of Evolution it, and it turns into a random 7 drop because it's originally a 6 mana card.
Right.
So you get like Archmage Antonitis sometimes, or sometimes you get... what's that card? The 4/2 that causes your opponent to be able to kill all your minions for free.
Yeah, the Acid Maw.
Acid Maw. Hey.
Acid Maw.
Sometimes
that's
you get Acid
great.
Maw and just lose the game.
That's but great.
The average is supposed to be like a 7/7, so you play a 4/5 and a 7/7, and you usually do this on like turn 4.
Right.
So it's pretty cool if you keep in like in your hand off the opening mulligan. So like most decks can't really come back from that unless they're face shaman. So it's like kind of a cool little shaman combo that's pretty powerful if you choose not to play face shaman, which is kind of absurd, but yeah.
why would you not, right?
Yeah.
Dude, why would you not? Because there's a card called Evolve that's kind of cool if you, don't want to play.
You might as well just put it in aggro shaman after you recycle all your garbage into playables, right? You just kind of put one Evolve, you're like, I can't win this game. Okay, sure, let me just roll the dice.
Okay.
It's just a really weird situation with Shaman right now.
Yeah, Evolve's like actually like pretty good, but I don't know if it's like good enough. It might just be like a win more card, right? It's like every time I play Evolve, it's like if this is just some finisher card, I feel like I might be better off like any other different less RNG oriented finisher.
Yeah. I mean the Evolve cards for me, or at least the situations I've run into or played against, have been most effective whenever you have just a bunch of totems on the board. Like you have two totems or you have very low attack minions on the board and you just want to swap those over to at least two or three attack minions. That's kind of what they end up doing.
You haven't had the Doomsayer dilemma
no,
yet.
No, definitely not yet. I haven't had that happen yet.
All the totems are one drops, so if you upgrade a board of totems, odds are you eventually find a Doomsayer in like 10 or 15 games.
Yeah, that's probably true. I just haven't run into
it. It's one big important match you probably lose in competitive play that you're like, I wish I hadn't done this. Ever.
Yeah.
it's just that one time you regret.
Yeah. Kat, have you played Shaman at all or no?
I was pretty excited because I popped a couple of those Shaman 4/5 cards. It's kind of like the Evolve in a minion.
Yeah, Master Revolution.
I haven't played it yet. Yeah, that Master Revolution. And I'm hoping that it turns all my minions into gold ones.
Gold ones.
Gold Evolve.
Yeah, definitely.
I was pretty excited to see that card because they were basically playtesting it as Lady Najdar in the League of Explorers adventure, her effect. And then they put that in the game as a card. So everyone's theory that they're like testing things and Tavern Brawls and such, I think it's
Yeah, I absolutely think it's true. What class have you been playing then, Kat? Like, what's the first class you tried?
Mage. And, I got a couple Blade of C'Thun. Yeah, I really like Blade of C'Thun, and 9 mana seems almost overcosted, but I don't know. Eight and nine.
Blade of C'Thun is rogue, right? Or
yeah. Oh, I said mage. Okay. Oh, rogue. And then I jumped right into rogue because I got a lot of great rogue cards.
Yeah.
And
rogue's good.
It's been crazy fun so far.
Yeah. No, Rogue's definitely been there's been all kinds of decks, actually, with Rogue. I've played against Mill. I've played against Death Rattle. I've played against C'Thun. I've played against all kinds of stuff. How about you, Noxious? What have you been doing?
Pretty much. Like, I started off with Ranwin Rin, like, fun priest stuff. Yeah, and then I realized, like, that was the first thing I wanted to try out. But then I realized quickly that, you know, the game is even more about playing on curves than before, so it's even tougher to play anything fun. So it's like you just throw Chilling Yetis that have abilities now into each other, and you hope it works. And usually if you've got good support cards, which Priest hardly does right now, then you're pretty much screwed. So you just have to hope that you have the good support. And for the most part, I'd say Rogue was the most fun I've had. And I was running like a triple Old God deck. I was running the deck with like Nazoth. And I was running like triple Old God for fun.
Yeah.
It was actually a great amount of fun because they can actually run Nazoth and everything but C'Thun, basically. And still, no, everything but Ishar, sorry, and get away with it. Like, you'll win a decent portion of your low ranked games. But if you refine that deck, I'm sure you just get like a broken rogue archetype. I'm sure some of them exist already.
I never went to three old gods, but I played a double old gods with just druid and, you know, like a ramp druid type of thing with Avion and stuff just to do it. But three, that's kind of crazy.
It's just greedy. That's all it is.
Hell yeah, it's greedy, but it's fun, right? That's what it's about.
I've loved it at least.
Yeah, definitely. No, I've only gotten to priest. So I started with priest just because I ended with priest and so tried different things. Obviously dragon's super good. I just played one game of dragon and it's like literally about the same. I think maybe you add a forbidden here, you know, like that forbidden just to fix whatever curve that you don't have a curve with Dragon anyways, the Forbidden card. That's still really good. And then I tried Control too, just the two mana. It's Control plus the Valen, potential for the Valen combo kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a full out combo deck, but it's just kind of a little bit of both. And that's kind of interesting. That 4 or 5 card is really good. That two, the two mana, the Embrace the Shadow with the the 5 mana card that does 5, the restore 5.
It does health. 5 damage.
Yeah, that's actually really good right now against a lot of the minions. So
it kills everything basically on curve.
Yeah, definitely.
And toss like flash heal in there as well.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
why not?
It's like 4 flash heals now. Basically, it's kind
of. But I'm not sure like it'd be competitively like it's not the type of stuff that I would expect to be competitive. But like one of the things that I've enjoyed is really just the amount of win big situations that we've run into. Right, like there's. When you win, it seems right now you just kind of win by an overwhelming amount, as opposed to it being like a grind, unless you're probably playing Ram Druid versus Ramp. But I don't know, I just feel like for the most part, just full of big dudes, but their support cards are so good that it's hard not to snowball completely out of control. And the aggro decks also tend to do it even more now, so...
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It was it wasn't good. Okay, like in the end, didn't end up being good. And then of course I tried that warrior deck that me and Firebat talked about a little bit, which was this arms super aggressive pirate deck that just didn't quite have enough on it to win consistently. So I was probably about 50-50 on that deck. But yeah, definitely a lot of fun starting off. Why don't we talk about cards that we kind of stood out to you, and then we'll start talking about decks after. Any cards that are just, I guess, surprisingly good, surprisingly bad? Anybody?
I thought Darkshire Councilman was going to be a lot worse than it actually ended up being. Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be broken in Zoo.
It's pretty good in Zoo. You can, for the most part, eventually, like in the late game, pyroblast people in the face with that guy.
Does it work? Like, because like the theory of it seems like it should work, but does it really work?
Yeah. Every time you pop a death rattle, it gets buffed. So every time you play a minion, like any minion, it gets buffed. You summon any minions, it gets buffed. So summoning a minion counts as any of your death rattles activating, or when you use that the tentacles card that fills your whole board with tentacles for your mana. Yeah, so you can like trade a whole bunch, pop all your death rattles, buff its attack up through the roof, spawn a bunch of tentacles, and then hit them for like 11 or 12.
Yeah, let's for folks that don't know what Darkshire Councilman does, it get plus one attack for everything that you summon.
Yeah. I didn't think it was going to be as good as it ended up being. It's actually like pretty solid in Zoo builds.
Yeah,
I was expecting the synergy that I saw right off the bat was the tentacle synergy, which is the very obvious one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's obvious to the point of being boring, but the fact that you can't stop it at all is what makes it so good. Because you see the Dark Shard is like 5 health.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. Hard. Like it's just annoying enough that you can't kill it, and then the guy drops any means of summoning just everything he's got. It's just I don't know. It feels like unstoppable. It's like a Frothing Berserker, right? It feels a bit like that.
Kind of like Frothing Berserker.
Yeah, it has that kind of element to it, that's for sure. And
I wonder if it could actually make Darkshire Councilman connection, like summoning portal good.
Summoning portal? Oh, okay.
You're pushing it.
That would be interesting for some people to try. It doesn't scale like that fast, right? It's only plus one. If it was like plus two or plus three, it could be... I mean, that plus two or plus three would be so
like
broken.
The old school man addict.
Exactly.
So
it'd be crazy busted.
No.
Yeah.
I would never.
Yeah. Okay. And on the topic of just like tentacles, tentacles was also just like way better than I thought it was.
Really? I knew it was going to be good. Just like filling the board with minions is awesome for Warlock. Jeez.
Yeah, it's just like the flexibility of it being such like a late game finisher potential allows you to have a lower curve in your Zoo, since it can just kind of fill in the role of being a big card as well as being a pretty decent mid-range card.
It's got that implosion. It fills that hole that implosion left. I mean, obviously you can't remove something, but it enables those sea giants. It enables those, you know, maybe reliquaries or Gormox too, if you want those in your deck too. It's really good. It's a great replacement for it, if anything. It has more flexibility. It's
Yeah, it might be better. I'm like not sure if it's better.
Wow. Okay.
I think it is. I would say it's better. I would say it's better just because it's more flexible and there's like you can plan around it also better. Yeah.
But the downside is like not removing anything is really brutal for Zoo because like if you lose the board, you're dead.
Yeah.
Like there's no way to take it back in your Zoo deck anymore because Implosion's gone. So that's like the super big downside. But I think overall the card might be a little bit stronger. I'm not totally sure yet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely good. Zoo is never bad. There's always gonna be some kind of good Zoo deck, and that's kind of what we're seeing right now. Any other card guides you guys noticed or been pleasantly surprised by?
I'd love to toss that Possessed Villager in Zoo, but I think my favorite card has been Zeril. I just thought it was so unique, and it was a really hard boss fight in WoW, but you're never really mad at any of the toxins that you get, you know, when you got spare parts and GVG, sometimes, you know, you just held on to a totally useless one, but just about every single toxin he gives you is going to be okay or better.
Yeah. But I think did you expect, cause I expected that to be very good baseline, right?
I don't know. Like it's so bad. I didn't think Rogue could like afford to lose the tempo of playing the card. And
interesting.
Then, It like the spare parts you get off of it or poisons or whatever make up for that tempo loss of playing the 3-2, which is actually kind of surprising. I didn't think it would.
Firebat's like, this game is all about Yetis. And I don't know how this 3-2 is making the cut.
Yeah,
it's way too small. How's that working out? It's just a flexibility again, right? Kind of like tentacles. Those are the type of cards that I love the most, honestly. The ones that are not straightforward. Well, I mean, they're easy to understand, but they're not entirely straightforward, and there's some nuance to how you play them. Mm-hmm. Those are fun, but like with all that good stuff, we've also been given like a ton of really straightforward beatdown in this expansion, and it's dominating. It's just like that's just it.
Four mana 7/7.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like
mana 7/7, four mana 4/10, four mana. There's like a lot of good.
You got a double polymorph in mage now. Like you got a double poly as a mandatory inclusion. Like otherwise you lose.
Yeah.
Spend an hour making a deck, queue into shaman. 4 mana 7/7. Well played.
Exactly. Exactly.
Game's just done.
It's crazy.
Like Hunter's Mark. Well, I have to play something with it. That's not enough.
Trogs.
Start running Flame Lance.
Yeah, I mean,
actually, it's better than BGH in that spot. Like now that you mention it, it actually would make because it kills the Arakoa on 6 for Druid. It would kill the 7/7 a turn afterwards if you're able to negate it.
If you put in all these tech cards to kill the 7/7, then your curve's worse, and then Aggro Shaman just plays on curve
rolls
and kills
over.
Like you can't put in like BGH because it weighs down your hand too much, and you just die. Because then Tunnel Trog gets out of control because you're sitting there with BGH and then you're done.
You know what's funny is that...
I hate that.
Well, you know what's funny is that we've, you know, for the longest time complained about Overload for Shaman and how they just get shat on basically because of Overload. And it's such a theme for Shaman that they'll never become good because of it. And now they're adding, right, the Sentinel and the Lava Shock. And now it's just like, it's broken. It can be broken. It's crazy.
It's not the
good.
Sentinel and the Lava Shock. It's just like the quality of the Overload cards, right? Like Totem Golem.
That's what I mean.
Insane compared to most of the Overload cards. And then the 4 mana 7/7, compare that to like Earth Elemental, which is a 5 mana 7/8 taunt for 1 more mana and 1 extra Overload. It's like, this is like so overstated, the 7/7 for the mana cost compared to the other Overload cards.
It's like, damn.
Like, I would have been fine with like a four mana 5/7. I'd be like, sure-ish. Like it's already pushing it. It feels pushing it, but
yeah. I mean, is that even?
I don't know.
A downside?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
It might be an upside. Depending on how the metagame is looking, because I mean, the 7/7. Of course. The thing is, like, the 7/7 does not like the BGH weakness is less relevant because it's so hard to pull it on curve. It's so hard to kill that 4/7, like 7/7, when it comes down with the BGH.
Right.
So you end up delaying. So you're stalling with taunts, and then eventually you hope to whittle it down with damage from some kind of AoE that you pull
and
off
then
three
they
turns
evolve
after.
Evolve it.
And then
that's what I hate, dude.
And you're screwed.
I hate that.
aren't you ready to play some Shaman Cat? Aren't you just loving it at this talk? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like I said, I got 7/7 is overrated. I'm ready for Shaman.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is kind of like the Fel Reaver play, but You don't lose three cards every time. You don't run out. Your deck doesn't go to zero after, you know, you play the Fel Reaver after a couple turns. So, yeah, I think this card is, yeah, it's, I don't want to say it's broken, but it's damn strong. And that deck was already super strong. So I just don't know, like, what was made to, or what we've seen so far that might even slow it down a bit. You know, like, is there anything that would make people not play Aggro Shaman right now?
I think the weapon is not as great as everyone thinks it is. The 4/2 summon an elemental for 5.
Yeah, but people play Doomhammer instead, right?
Yeah, like, you don't play that. You play 2 Doomhammers.
Like,
yeah.
I thought they would nerf Doomhammer. When they released that card, I was like, this is a clear sign they're nerfing Doomhammer. Mm-hmm. But apparently they said, no, we're not. What? Yeah.
They're like, Aggro Shaman's not consistent or strong enough. We really feel like instead of Crackle, we should just add a 7/7 in there. Because those Aggro Shaman players have it so rough out there. They really just need something more consistent and powerful.
God damn it, Blizzard.
it's insane. Shaman's still insane. And the one negative to all this is that, you know, most of the tournaments, you can only play one type of a class. You can only have one deck for a class. And that's a bummer, right? Because there's all these other awesome, you know, evolves and master evolutions and all those, you know, even that combo that you talked about, is really great to see even as a spectator. And we're not going to see those. We're just going to see Aggro Shaman day long.
We might see it because if there's banned formats in the tournament, then Shaman's like the number one class that everyone's going to bring, right?
Yeah.
So if you expect everyone to ban your Shaman except people that have a plan to try and 3-0 your Shaman, like God forbid if they figured it out. But then you have a mid-range Shaman instead of an Aggro Shaman. So then that guy that wants to leave up your Shaman will ban something else, and then you just stomp him with the different kind of Shaman. Because mid-range Shaman isn't even bad. It's Shaman has, like, really good cards. And, I mean, you can throw the 7/7 in mid-range. You can throw it in control. You can throw it in aggro. Like,
in Malagos Shaman, you're just I'll sprinkle this in.
Yeah. You can just sprinkle that guy in everywhere.
Why not?
It'll probably overperform. So
yeah, there seems to be a couple of those type of cards in this expansion where it's just like, man, it's just hard not to play this card. This card's just good. Like, well, whatever kind of deck, just play it, you know? But yeah, this one's definitely the one for Shaman. Kind of getting back to the Zeril thing that Kat mentioned, just the, you know, Zeril card. Have you guys gotten a chance to try Miracle at all? Like, I've been, that was what I wanted to do with Zeril is, or Zeril. Zeril is try a Miracle
Zeril?
Deck.
I don't know.
Zeril, whatever. Zeril, right? Zeril?
You're rated, right? So you know the name better than I do.
Yeah. Actually, Kat would know best. Actually, it's Zeril.
A little flavor. That was a pretty tough 9 boss encounter. Zeril was one of 9 guys that all had different mechanics.
Oh my gosh, really? That's crazy.
It's pretty fun.
That sounds fun.
A nine boss raid? All right. That's pretty awesome.
No, just the one fight.
One fight.
Okay, one fight. Holy shit. Okay. Yeah, but anyways, I wanted to try Miracle with it, and haven't gotten a chance to, just because, you know, the poisons I feel like would help quite a bit or be synergistic with Miracle.
Is Miracle fast enough though? Like, you lose Flurry, how do you clear up a board? I tried putting it on paper, and I'm like, I basically have to play a tempo deck that plays Gadotan, not Miracle, because that's like very different.
I mean, Tomb Pillager is still just like absolutely nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Dog was playing Miracle yesterday, got to, like, I'm pretty sure top 50, maybe even top 25.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, just Tomb Pillager being able to give you those coins to be able to play with Auctioneer and stuff allows you to just remove things so efficiently. And then what he was doing was just, he had like Yogg-Saron in there just as basically. It's a stall slash finisher. So yeah, you just slam down Yogg-Saron, a lot of crap dies. You don't really have too many minions on the field because you're Miracle Rogue, right? You don't have very minions in your deck in general. So then it cleans up the board, clears up, acts like a Blade Flurry, basically leaves a big body sometimes, and
sometimes.
I saw him do it, and it killed everything, killed itself, sprinted, and then played Astral Communion. So just killed the entire board, drew his entire deck, then discarded his whole hand.
Let's talk about Yogg-Saron, right? Because I played it I played it probably about 10 times. I watched other people play it. And okay, I want to hear everybody's verdict on whether this card is actually a finisher or not, because
it's not a finisher. It's a
transition. Yeah, exactly. It's a transition card.
It's a transition card. Okay, but a lot of people are playing it as almost a finish. Like, what else do they have at the end? Like, what did? Oh, I guess Dog still had some burn, right, in his deck.
He had double Cold Blood, yeah.
Yeah, he had some burn in the end of his deck. But
so he stealths a random thing, Cold Bloods it twice, and kills people.
That kind of
works, right?
Even transitional, yeah. Go ahead, Kat.
Oh, I was going to say, during that Frodan stream, they were able to play Yogg, and Frodan said, sometimes you got to go for the glory, not for the story. And so yesterday, front page... a brand Yogg video got really high up there, and not only was the first spell Ashley Comedian dumps his whole hand, but then it cycled through so many cards he filled his hand back up and started milling himself.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a really good chance to do that with Yogg.
Yeah, that's what happens.
I've been playing this card all day, basically. It was all I've been doing, and it's like, at first I was like, yeah, there's no way this is ever gonna work, and it turns out like it's used, like, you can't use it as a finisher in those very slow control decks, but it's going to just be there as an extra threat. And when you dump it, it's basically a flame strike plus a sprint all together with a lot of life taps that you put on yourself and some damage you deal to the opponent's face. It's just a complete mess. And sometimes you end up with a 1-3 weapon, because why not? Like, it's just, nobody knows what's up. And the fact that it just buys you so much time and throws off your opponent and yourself is, I don't know, it's fun. Like, it's just fun. And it actually isn't too bad. I think on average, when you get like 10 plus spells, the results are mostly going to be, like, they're going to be relatively mild. They're going to clear up the board, draw you cards, maybe discard a few. But it's like, there's not a crazy amount of cards that have very polarized effects like Communion. If there were more, then maybe.
Yeah.
There are a few spells, you know, that can only target your enemy. So even though you might Frostbolt your own face, I think it is slightly weighted in favor of, you know, you being up a little up on the outcome, because, you know, you can't betray your own guys.
Right, right.
Right.
If he survives, I think it's already a plus. If he survives the onslaught, right?
Yeah, but
and
like,
you do end with maybe end with a 7/5 on the board if you don't polymorph your own Yogg.
That's right. I mean, there's like many ways for him to die.
It just makes like so much sense in Miracle Rogue, though, because you don't have a board to begin with, because if you do have a board, they're probably dead because you have like just gadgets in and things that kill them in your deck.
Yeah,
so then like it doesn't hurt your board because your board doesn't exist. It draws you a bunch of cards because there's a lot of card draw cards in the game, which is what Miracle tries to do. Mm-hmm. And it clears the board a lot of the time, so it's like stall, card draw. It's perfect for Miracle Rogue. Makes a lot of sense.
That's true. I was playing with Freeze Mage. Wait, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Freeze Mage, same thing. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense as well.
Freeze Mage, I was doing
I don't know
Mage.
About that. I don't know about that. You pop your own block, man. That's not good. It is never... No. I disagree.
Maybe a stall,
but you die so much, man.
You do sometimes?
No, every time. Like, you're below 5 health, you're dead. Like, you're dead. There is no chance... Even 10, I don't trust myself.
I popped it and then gotten it back and then got... I mean, you get a shitload of secrets, though. Like, I don't know why. I've gotten, a good number of secrets every time I've done it with Freeze Mage. Because, I mean, I get, like, 20 spells, you know what I mean? Like, by the time you're done with Cabala's Tome and what... You know, like, Cabala's Tome, after you're done with that and just being greedy as hell, you get, like, 20 spells. And by that time, I have, like, 5 secrets. So, yes, I've popped my Ice Block at least... 4 times, I think, but I've gotten it back like 1 or 2 times, which is kind of interesting.
That's way above average. Yeah, like way above average.
Yeah, of course it is.
It is unrealistically high. Above the average time. You'll just kill yourself with it. Dude, I have tried so much. Okay. Freeze Mage is not I don't like that shell for that card. I just hate it. Miracle Rogue, I can see. But
well, you can't wait till the last minute. You can't wait till probably the last second to do it with Freeze Mage. But
Freeze Mage is just like so fast, right? Like as you get to turn 10, you want to be Alexing them. Like you've already drawn all of your burn. You've done all of your draw cycle anymore. So you just do your Freeze Mage thing and kill them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's definitely true. Let's see. Any other card that's been surprised? Okay, maybe let's just transition over to favorite card. So I'll start with my favorite card. So Fandral is by far my favorite card so far, at least well, I mean, not by far, but definitely my favorite card so far. Just playing the Druids, getting all those choose one cards, and I mean, I literally have probably done choose one or Fandral with almost every single one of those choose one cards, and it's like amazing. It just feels so good, even when you just get one. But a lot of times you'll get like two of them because that card is so hard to kill when it's once it's innervated out. Have you guys gotten a chance to play with it at all?
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's everyone expected that card to be really
good.
Yeah,
I know.
But turns out it's really good.
It's 10-10.
That's like no surprise.
A 10-10. It's not a surprise. It's just like favorite card so far. I mean, I love getting the 10-10 Ancient of Wars and, hell, even Raven Idol, man. Getting to choose a spell and a minion. And then I ran that Feral... what's the one that gives you 8 armor or 4 attack?
Feral Rage.
Dude, that card was even odd. That saved my ass like once or twice, too. Like,
I don't even know why people dismiss that card at first.
So,
I don't get it.
That card's been so fun, man. I just have an incredible time playing that. Definitely give that a try if the viewers haven't gotten a chance to play that. What's your favorite card so far, Kat? Was it Zeril or...
I think it's actually Journey Below, the museum curator.
Oh, yeah.
Many cool Death Rattle cards that you might not necessarily tech into your deck. But the Undercity Huckster, you guys were saying Tomb Pillager earlier. Mm-hmm. All those coins. I think it would be a great fit in Miracle and just about any rogue deck. Raptor, you can't really go wrong with it.
Yeah.
You get Zeril. Just the fact that you can get Zeril and Tomb Pillager from it is just way above anything Museum Curator could ever hope to achieve for Priest. Mm. Like, those two cards for Rogues are so core to the class that when I look at Priest and what they can get from Death Rattle, I'm like, I'm sorry. I apologize for the devs for sticking it up to you. Like, there's no way... I mean, it sucks so much when you're playing Priest Curator now. Like, it was okay. It was fine-ish before the rotation. Now it's a fucking disaster. Like, there's...
But hey, guys,
it's just bad. Didn't
Reddit,
it feels bad.
Reddit said Rogue got shit on, though, right? I mean, like, that was, like, number one.
I don't know why.
Well, Blade Flurry's gone. It's the end of Rogue.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a new kind of Rogue.
I must have not been on Reddit.
I mean, what really carries Rogue so hard is just Tomb Pillager being so good.
Yeah.
Like, the card is, like, now that there's Shredder out of the meta, that guy just shines now. That guy really puts in a lot of work.
Yeah, and if you can, you know, synergize with, like, Miracle or whatever with a coin, too, it's just, like, disgustingly good. Have you guys gotten a chance to play the Death Rattle Rogue? I mean, the Huckster into Raptor's freaking great, man. Like, they're drawing cards like mad, man. Rogue's never running out of cards now. It's so nice, even tempo Death Rattle type of Rogues.
Yeah, and they have the 1-mana... All right, the 4-mana 1/1 that death rattles into a 5/5, I think it is, something like that.
Yeah. Not bad.
Oh my God. Shadowcaster, by the way, I would have to say, like, going back, because we're on the topic of rogues and good cards that they have, like, I think Shadowcaster was an unexpected MVP of a few games I've played so far.
I thought the card at 5 mana would be, like, a
fun card at best, but it turns out there's a few, like, because a lot of people play slower, you know, not everyone. You'll find some slower matchups. Mm-hmm. Like, that's basically your ticket to victory against control decks. Like, you just hit a brand with that late game and you've already won. Like, you just wait and sit on that until you get the perfect setup. It's kind of interesting the way that the 5-mana 4/4 that loses you tempo can beat control decks, like, pretty well.
Yeah, it's not even that bad against aggro. Like, if you have anything stick, you pull back, like, SIs, use those defensively, and things like that, or... get extra Ezra Drakes or whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I think
Disciple of Cthulhu.
The ability to use Battlecry is where that card was special compared to the Faceless cards or any of those other copy cards. So that was the thing that I was most excited about for Shadowcaster. It took me a while to get two of them. Actually, I know I had to buy two of them, actually. I got one Shadowcaster. I had to buy a second one, though, a second one.
Most people...
It's a cold one, and I actually don't have a regular one.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. The people in, like, the top 10 rogue builds right now on ladder all are playing one, so they're not playing two.
Not playing two? Yeah. Okay, maybe I should have done that. That was that impulse. That was that impulse buy, again, that Kat was talking about.
Click, 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 don't do that!
Yeah, I mean, you have to be, like, ahead to really get value off of it, right? You have to have something stick, like either an Earthen Ring, an SI, or whatever stick, and then you can pull it back to your hand.
Right. Let me show you everybody what Shadowcaster is. But yeah, Rogue, I mean, Rogue looks pretty good. That was probably what I was going to play tonight. It was just a lot of Rogue. And Yeah, I mean, when I play against them, they seem to be doing okay. Definitely okay. But yeah. Blade Flurry does hurt pretty bad, right? Or it doesn't feel very good right now. Just having to spend that much mana. So it does kind of suck, but I think you still have to run it, though.
You think we'll see more betrayal, cheaper removal? It doesn't really clear your whole board, but I think people don't really remember how to play around it anymore.
You can get away without Flurry now, right?
I don't know. What do you think, Firebat? You think you can get away without Flurry? Flurry? Shadow Strike is pretty good, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, depends what you're facing up against, right? Right now, there isn't too many things that, like, spam the board too much besides, like, face decks that you're going to lose to anyway, so there's like no point to teching the Flurry. It's like you face Aggro Shaman, you're rogue, you're dead, just move on to the next game most of the time. But like, if you wanted to tech for those sort of matchups, Flurry could be a choice that you put in, but it's so slow. And I don't know, there's the backstab guy that does 2 damage to all undamaged minions of your opponent. Skulker's okay. I don't know, it's like rogue kind of moved away from AoE a little bit. I always thought like Blade Flurry was still going to see play, like as like a one of or something in Rogue.
Yeah.
But doesn't seem like it is right now. I don't think it will if it's not doing it right now. I think it's like kind of just too slow for everything that's been going on. You'd rather just play the card we were just talking about, the Shadow Stalker or whatever it is.
Yeah, the Skulker. Yeah, the Dark Skulker.
Yeah. The 4/4 guy.
Oh, the 4/4 guy. I mean, Shadowcaster.
It brings back...
Yeah, Shadowcaster. Like, you'd rather play Shadowcaster as, like, your slow card that helps you win against control than you would Blade Flurry. Like, I think it's the better one-of alternative.
Okay.
So, like, because against control, now you pull back your cards and get extra value and have extra spells to kind of clear things out, get the extra card off. And Azurdrake, you pull back Gadgets and Auctioneer, do something like that, but... Normally, you'd have to, like, they'd play a bunch of taunts or something, and you'd have to Blade Flurry clear and push damage through to be able to win as Rogue. But now, instead, you just draw extra cards or generate, I guess, kind of extra cards to be able to outvalue the control decks. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Huh, pretty cool. Definitely interesting. Favorite card for you, Firebat, so far?
Really? You got to ask that?
Oh, wow. Fiery? Is it the Fiery Bat? Are you that vain, dude?
I mean,
is it seriously your favorite card? Wow.
I mean, yeah.
All right, cool. Man, I guess when you're named after a card, it's kind of has to be, right? The Fiery Bat. All right, talk about it. Why do you like it so much, besides the namesake?
Oh, I haven't thought that far. I haven't been able to.
You self-centered fuck. No, this is good. I mean, it's just so good.
I mean, I haven't been able to make 100 build that works like consistently yet. It's kind of a work in progress, but I would really like to play 100 at my upcoming tournament, so it's something I'm working on. So, I mean, right now, it's one of the best one drops in the game for sure. Like just the ability to deal that much face damage.
Yeah.
And also trade up with things and clear. It's definitely like just screams, smork, and good. So like
it's pretty similar to Leprechaun
even after the nerf.
It's better than Leprechaun now, but pre nerf Leprechaun, I think it's still better than just because it's got the beast synergy and it has better clear potential. So I think it's just better than Leprechaun, which is...
Wow.
Really? Just because of the Beast probably has a lot.
It actually makes sense.
Has a lot to do with it, yeah.
Well, yeah, they're both playing the same role. Aspect.
Yep.
You just play both, dude. That's it. It's like, easy.
There's some good cards you'd probably want to add over Leprechaun. It's pretty close, though, whether it's just to include it in the Smork deck or not. Have you tried building a mid-range deck at all? For Hunter? I built a few of those. Yeah, I mean, those...
Yeah, played around a lot with it, and it's just like, your early game curve is just way weaker than other decks.
That's what like, it feels like, yeah.
You got your one drop, and then your two drops are all either like 3/2s or Scavenging Hyena, huge and then your opponent... Your one drops are all 2/1s, everyone's playing 1/3s, and they follow them up with 3/4s, you follow them up with 3/2s. And you're dead. Like, it's just so hard to stop your opponent's snowball. And your comeback mechanisms in Hunter are like traps, which are really slow because Scientist is gone.
Those are
you don't have Blade Zuka as a comeback mechanism anymore. So then you have to wait on like Unleash as a sort of comeback mechanism, which is crazy slow, especially when a 7/7's punching you in the face. So
well, it's crazy is we're starting to see snipe used because of those strong two drops and even three drops, right? So yeah. I think that's trying to make up for the fact that Hunter does have such a slow 1 and 2 mana start. I tried playing without a. What was that, Ken?
Oh, sorry. I think it has a lot to do with why they nerfed Hunter's Mark. They just knew that it would be so crucial right now. So zero was a little too easy.
If Hunter's able to get like out of the early game, like holy smokes.
I know, it's crazy good.
It like is. You go like high main into Call of the Wild, people are dead. Like Call of the Wild is so crazy strong.
It is. It's crazy. Yeah. You have any kind of lead, it just snowballs right when you play it. And it's like guaranteed, like you know exactly what's gonna happen. It's like, yes, I get a 5 charge and I get a taunt and I get a buff to whatever's on the board, dude. This is awesome. So yeah. I mean, once they do get it on, it's good. And Princess Yuhiren's been okay for me. I wouldn't say it's been super great or not, but 6/5 at 5 at worst is not bad. It's like a, you know, like a decent option anyways. And sometimes I get this. I almost never get the wolves. Like, do you ever get the death rattle like Princess Yuhiren into the 1/1s that come? Yeah, I never get that. That never happens for me.
No, I feel like they're really trying to make Feign Death work. They're really sad that Feign Death didn't work, and Feign Death still doesn't work.
There's just not enough death rattles. Well, it's like,
I could be wrong. But
I mean, they took away Creeper, so it's just kind of like there's not that many. So it's like you got Huge Toad, which has probably little to no impact at that point with that death rattle. And then
Toad is like a worse fiery bat.
Yeah,
it's true. But yeah, so it's hopefully we can figure out something. There's just no two drops right now. I tried both Hyena and Toad, and just like you, just falling behind really, really quickly.
Yeah, you fall behind so fast. There's so many beasts in the deck, though. Like, you now have like a beast on like literally every drop. So Houndmaster's always live. So if you ever get ahead, you snowball with Houndmaster. You can snowball with Ram Wrangler. You can snowball with Princess Saran on any of your Death Rattle guys. Yeah. You can snowball with Call of the Wild. It's like any lead. And every card in your deck suddenly just wins you the game. Like, but the problem is just getting to that point is so difficult.
So, early game. So the question is the grub any good? Because every time I'm playing Hunter, people are talking, grub, add the grub to your deck. And I'm just like, oh, come on, man. Really? Really? And then I look over at some of these decks that we're about to look at, and I actually see grub in the deck. And I'm like, what? What? What is going on? So I think I might be just totally missing it. I guess it's just that setup, right? That Carrion Grub.
It's a huge card, though. It's massive, right? Like, it's a 2/5.
Yeah.
It's like you look at this, what's it called? The Blackwing Technician, right? Its strength isn't that it's a 3/5, it's that it has 5 health. When you're when it gets buffed by a dragon, right? Like, in many spots.
Yeah.
So if you're, like, a hunter and you're able to curve into Houndmaster, I mean, Grub, to me, was one of the playables for midrange.
Yeah, it's not bad. If you get it with a Houndmaster, it's insane. The decks that really excel with the Grub are the decks that are, of course, running like double Huge Toad, double Fiery Bat to try and set up the Grub to be able to kill things. And then they also have like snipes in there and things like that to just try and, like, when your opponent plays the minion into your Grub, it's already inflicted damage, then your Grub can trade into it and finish it off and whatnot. So
makes sense.
I'm just really excited to see a vanilla minion actually be strong. It's kind of like the new Yeti. No stats, but everyone's still pretty excited about it.
Yeah, also, I mean, a vanilla card that doesn't have any C'Thun buff is like a rarity in this expansion. So, and just generally, I guess, vanilla. So that's true. It's definitely true. This is kind of like the turtles, like little brother, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Noxious, your favorite card, and then we'll move on to decks after this.
Oh my god!
I know you've played like a million of them.
There's too much stuff, man. Like, I'll say Forbidden Shaping just because really? You can get away with it.
Okay,
I don't know. Like, the thing is, like, it's not as fun as I wish it would have been, because you tend to just play it for value on turn 8.
Oh yeah, 8's a great mana cost. I mean, I think the value. You almost always get something amazing on 8. Right. So,
but the flexibility of it is cool. I mean, I guess Shadowcaster is also. Journey from Below would probably be my absolute favorite in the fact that it's actually competitive and fun at the same time. Mm-hmm. But that's because it gives you Exariel, which I think is also an amazing card. It's just like the whole rogue package that I love. It's not just the one card.
Yeah.
poor priest.
Yeah, poor, definitely poor priest. Anybody touch paladin at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
And?
I went aggro with it.
Of course you did. Yeah, of course you went aggro with it.
I mean, the selfless hero is like a pretty solid card. So, I mean,
yeah,
aggro one. Package there. The weapon's not too bad either, but I don't know if the weapon's actually better than True Silver. I ended up switching out the new weapon, Rallying Call, or whatever it is just like True Silver's, but I mean, still not sure which is better to go in there. Steward of Darkshire is really solid. Mm-hmm. You got Biofin Tidehunter is not that bad for just having it's more things really to be able to buff up. I don't know if it's really good, but it's not that bad. And
it's
then
good in this deck, right? In that deck, it's good.
Yeah, and then you got like Zealous Initiate's not terrible. Ended up cutting that though, but yeah, that's like a card that's like a maybe. I don't know. You just spam a bunch of 1/2 drops and Divine Favor, right? It's not a complicated deck.
Yeah. Anybody try Control with Ragnaros the Light Lord?
Yeah, I have. Forbidden Healing is basically the best card in Paladin. Like, that's my conclusion for this entire set, and I assumed that was going to be the case, and it is.
Wow.
Forbidden Healing is the best card in the set for Paladin. There's no doubt. It was pretty obvious, though, when you looked at what the class would become.
Really? Wow, I didn't think it was obvious. Firebat, or...
No, wasn't
Cat,
it? I don't know, maybe everybody disagreed when we spoke of it last, no?
What cost would you say that it's actually value? Because I've seen someone... you know, run out of chart of cost per healing, and there's a lot of inefficient costs compared to other spells and a lot of really good costs, so it kind of fits right in the middle. Where do you play it at?
Well, I mean, like, against Freeze Mage or against Aggro Shaman or North American Ladder, like, you just wait until... you wait until you're about to like, stabilize the board, so you just caught up on the board, and let's say it's, like, turn 6, and then you just... you play it and you heal a ton of health and they can no longer burn you out. You win the game. Like, it just allows you to stabilize at any life total, right? So like the big problem with Paladin's Lay on Hands spell is like you need to stabilize on exactly 8. And 8 is really late in the game to have to be healing to stabilize. Your opponent's still going to be trying to find their lava bursts or whatever kill commands to try and burn you out because you just recovered the board with like a quality consecrate or whatever. So then it's like kind of clunky and it's predictable that you're going to be using Lay on Hands on that turn. So they know they can get away with things like going into that turn in their board developments. So then this card, they have no idea what turn you're going to specifically heal on, which is really good. And you can stabilize whenever, which is really important because when you're getting aggroed down, it's like a high pressure situation and you need flexibility where you can get it.
Yeah.
So
it's just, you know, obviously you don't do anything tempo wise. That's why I was just like, I wasn't sure if this card was going to be good or not. You know, you just have to spend your whole turn on doing it though.
Think of it, okay, think of it that way, like, to illustrate it. Imagine you could guarantee the healing wave wasn't going to suck.
That's like, only
imagine
three
if
mana,
you could
though.
Guarantee... No, no, sure, it's but, like, imagine mana, imagine if I told you you could pay 6 mana a shaman
and get,
and get 14 health guaranteed, like, as a certain thing. Would you play that? If your answer is yes, then in general, that's kind of where I would look at this from, because healing wave and shaman was, like, it looked good because there was a potential... to get that 14. The problem is when you play that card in whatever deck you play it in, very often when you play it, you need the 14. And if you're on turn 6, you end up like playing Healing Wave and then you have 3 empty mana spots that you don't know what the hell to do with because there's nothing else to do. So you would rather expend that mana into getting another, you know, 7 health instead of just doing a totem hit. So I think like Forbidden Healing is a successful healing spell in that it basically makes... like it makes you do whatever you want with it. And late game, I mean, if you have 2 of them, you haven't used them during the game against a control mirror match, like you just get 2 free resets. Like you have a turn, the guy just aggroes you down.
Right.
You heal back for say 16.
It's, yeah, plus it's really 6 or plus 8 health. Yeah, I know what you mean. Just overall, right? Just net health. Yeah. Okay.
It's still flexible.
So what's the finish for that type of paladin though? Like a control paladin.
Not dying.
Not dying.
Not dying. Okay.
It's attrition. I kid you not.
So So I was thinking about putting Adric in it, you know, and just going with like Light Lord and some Forbidden Healing and things like that. Is that going to be something? You think?
I mean, can it compete with Fatigue Warrior though? Like they could just even just Control Warrior, regular Control Warrior, you just throw in Justicar. Still so difficult to beat.
That's
and
right. That's Priest what I mean.
Priest has Entomb. So like the other control decks are going to be a problem, but it's probably going to be more efficient against a lot of the aggro decks. So
I just, depends what the meta. Yeah, I just don't know how to finish. It's not like Cthune's not
like,
great.
You could play Nuzoth in there, right? You could play Nuzoth.
Yeah,
technically, like you bring back Tyrion, maybe you pick up some other mid game death rattle.
Oh yeah, actually, Nuzoth is probably the most most logical one.
I mean, it's not. Mm-hmm.
It's not great.
Yeah, it's not great, but you could have Sylvanas, you could have Tyrion, but you could have
the problem with that sort of way is like if you're playing that build, you're not gonna have any early game, really, because you're gonna be kind of like healing and whatever. Your opponent's not gonna be pressured into using their brawls or whatever, so they're going to have their brawls when you finally do get around to using the Nuzoth, and it can get kind of awkward. So that's why it's like not the greatest finisher against control. Like Nuzoth's just way better finisher against like mid-range decks that are just like kind of keeping up with you and you're just kind of staying on par with, then you slam Nuzoth and then blow them out.
But if you want to get brawled, you want to get brawled on stuff that has death rattle, right?
Well, I was gonna say, they
may have just two brawls still in their hand, though.
That's
just
brawl two of them would be terrible. Oh my god, yeah. That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Brawl feels like, I feel like Warrior is the class that has the biggest, like, that lost the least, and it can just play its old control archetype, tweaked a little bit, and it's probably just crapping on everyone right now. Like, I can't see a world in which Warrior's not just playing, double Brawl Elise, now I can put Black Knight, Nissus Champion, Sarad, just, like, put in all those very slow cards and roll with it. It's just so insane.
I haven't seen anybody play Elise yet. Like, I tried Elise a little bit.
Dude, it's
the
expansion. Like, no one's gonna play that. Like, everybody's playing new cards.
I know, but you think eventually? Warrior, you think eventually people would start playing?
I think the classic Control Warrior is just retardedly good.
Right okay. Now. All right.
Yeah,
that plus 10 health, that plus 10 armor is just... It's been like,
that's Cthune,
wow.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's been pretty tough. The Cthune Warrior deck has been strong. I guess last comment about Cthune. What do you guys think of Cthune right now? Is it just right? Is it just kind of gimmicky, or is it too strong?
Well, I went through a wave of emotions with Cthune when it first I first started playing. Like, originally my thought was, wow, this is busted. They made this way too strong. I feel like every game is just whoever draws Cthune first. And then I was like, wow, Shaman is a 7/7. I'm dead. And then I was like, all right, I guess Cthune's not that strong. It's a little bit too slow, maybe. And now I'm sort of like, yeah, Cthune's probably just okay. It's like not great. It's not bad. It fits pretty well in control decks to have some sort of finisher. Mm-hmm. But I think there's like better finishers than actually Cthune in most control decks. So I think it's like okay. I don't think it's exceptional.
Okay. Kat, any thoughts on Cthune? You played it at all?
I think it feels a little bit like any other combo deck. If you don't draw it, it feels really bad. But all of the minions that buff it, they're...
not bad.
They're not bad in their own right. You know, little vanilla minions. I love that panda card, deal 2 damage.
Oh, it's a great card.
Yeah, it's so fantastic.
Disciple.
This Disciple, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cthune Disciple. That's one of those cards where it's like... Disciple, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cthune Disciple. That's one of those cards where it's like I almost want to play in any kind of tempo deck, right? Like literally every single tempo deck I want to play that card in because it's so good. And then you get Brand too. It's like, holy crap, man. It's like really, really good. SI with no combo.
I'm most excited about Cthune is they made the animation so fast, so much faster than Arcane Missiles. You're not... If your opponent plays Cthune, you're not getting, you know, roped and eating into your turn. It's not as devastating.
Spreading Madness has the same animation, but it's literally the slowest thing in the world. Oh, good lord, it's slow.
I tried the Patron Warlock with Spreading Madness. Turns out it's terrible, but it was a lot of fun.
Surprise, surprise, guys.
That turn 8 looks really legit. I can be like a patron warrior, but I can't guarantee it. And you're like, I end up with one patron and you took like 6 damage. Just doesn't feel good.
Okay, let's talk really quick about decks and then we'll talk some subreddit action with Kat here. So there's this website, let me link it to everybody so that everybody can go to it while we're doing this. It's in what language is that? Is that Korean?
I don't know.
It's not Chinese, I don't believe. It's I'm not sure what. Okay. Anyways, there's different translations for each one of them. And so what you do, you go to this site Japanese. And then click on the links of the actual players' names, and then they'll show you just two versions of the decks. One in is it Japanese? Okay, it looks like Japanese. One in Japanese, one in English. So I figured we'd take a look at a couple of these. Let's see. I don't know. Why don't you guys just call out some? We'll just take a look at them.
I want to see Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan. Okay, so yeah. The Hunter.
That camel deck that surprised everybody so much. Yeah. I hope he came up with something exciting.
Yeah, so this is the one I was talking about with Snipe, and Firebat was kind of referring to, too. So let's take a look at this. All right, so it's got the two snipes. It's got three traps in it, and I've been kind of torn as to how many traps to have now in Hunter, because they don't seem quite as good as they used to be, obviously, when they cost mana. But
it's the other stuff that's worse, actually, funny enough.
What do you mean?
It's the other removal that you would like to play, and it's instead of the other cards that you would like to play with the traps, instead you end up cutting those to put the traps in, because the traps still stay relatively good depending on your game plan.
Yeah.
So you'll find that people don't run like double mark or like double quick shot. So you'll end up with some cuts that you wouldn't expect if you looked at the decks that we had prior.
Yeah.
Because people could guarantee that those cards wouldn't be competing for that two mana in their hands, thanks to scientists.
That's a good point.
It was kind of interesting.
I didn't think about that.
The way they've adapted. They curve a bit higher to get the call.
Okay, so let's call out some interesting cards here. Stable Master. I've never seen Stable Master played in any deck, so that's interesting. What function do you think for that one?
4/2 drops. I have 4/2 drops and they're beasts. That seems to work.
Not a lot of beasts, so maybe it allows you to make it out of the early game, get a free trade, and transition better, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that
seems kind of sketchy.
Yeah, that seems like
I'd play Bestial Wrath over this, to be honest with you. I still think Bestial Wrath will give you the same free trade. You don't keep the body, but at the very least, it's a bit more reach if you can't even kill whatever's on the board yet.
Wow. That is a statement I've never heard. I'd rather play Bestial Wrath. Wow.
Stable Master? Yeah,
that is crazy.
Probably than Stable Master.
Okay.
Between both, if I have the choice, I'd put like one. If I have to play two of these effects, I'd play one of each. But if I have to cut one, I'd cut Stable Master.
Okay.
Personally.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Elex in this deck? Because it's not super high in terms of minion.
It's a beast.
Mana cost.
Yeah, I mean, it's
it is a beast. It is one of the few 2-drop beasts, right?
So. And most of the decks in the meta right now, if they're not a C'Thun deck, then their curve stops pretty low, so it should probably have a pretty good chance of drawing you a card.
Okay. All right, so interesting. Anything for you, Kat? Kat, anything that sticks out for you?
Kind of surprised at Ram Wrangler. You guys were saying not too many beasts. So there's a couple activators in there, the Firebat card, the Toads, but...
Yeah.
The Wolf is insane, because the Spiders are beasts.
The Spiders are beasts off the Wolf, so I mean...
Yeah.
You just... If you're like at all have a chance to win the game as Hunter, you just always have beasts in the field because literally every minion in your deck is a beast, like except Stable Master and Hound Master, right? And then Ram Wrangler itself.
Yeah, no, Ram Wrangler got an improvement for sure with all these new beasts.
Oh yeah,
so
a big one too.
It's scary, man. If that starts making it into competitive play, I can just feel the salt coming on. Like
holy
it's gonna be.
Trying to find a new game, a new card game to play for a living, competitive, a new Steam game to play competitively.
The only way we'll see worms on the board.
At least there's no juggler, right? Let's take solace in the fact that there's no like knife juggler in there. Okay, let's all take a minute to appreciate.
Yet.
The absence, sure, but you know, right now, there isn't a juggler in the list.
It's in mine.
No, don't even go there.
Okay, all right. Let's get
recovering.
Let's pick another deck. So Kat picked that one. All right, we'll each pick one. Noxious, anyone that's pretty cool?
Well, I saw the there was a paladin list from Strifecrow.
Yeah, the Death Rattle one. Yeah,
that's
all,
the Thralos from Strifecrow was actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, anything from Strifecrow should be
I feel
cool.
Like it's not optimized at all. Like, this list is very, very, very suboptimized. But we were talking about N'Zoth Paladin a bit earlier.
Heal Bond.
And this is kind of the type of deck that I think Nuzoth, like Nuzoth shines in this, just this type of deck, because it brings back big beaters like Corrupted Healbot. And mid-game you play it, it's a drawback because they restore health, but you don't care since they don't need, like they haven't taken any damage. And late-game, they're probably out of removal. Wow. And if they have to remove Nuzoth alongside double Corrupted Healbot and Cairn, yeah, you're probably going to beat them down and they're never going to kill any of that stuff. Unless they're Control Warrior, in which case, well, you're shit out of luck. It's not your day.
Yeah, this is interesting.
You shouldn't be playing this deck probably against Control Warrior, I imagine. Okay. I'm not sure about... Keeper.
Twilight Summoner.
Yeah, the Summoner sticks out to me.
Potentially questionable.
That sticks out
like
to me.
Summoner at all.
Yeah. And it seems like
I'm pretty sure
trying to force Nuzoth to work in the deck, whereas like you don't really need it to make Nuzoth work. But I mean, I guess it's a 4 mana 6-6.
That's what I'm
six.
Saying, right? Like it's not optimized, but the idea of the deck, like the entire the line that it's taking to make valuable the Nuzoth that it includes is good. Because Corrupted Healbot is one of those things you would play nowhere. If you're trying to kill the opponent, but because you're using it as control, like board control in the mid game, and then as a finisher in the late game, I think it's really effective here.
So, Twilight Summoner?
I think Healbot is kind of the big thing. Summoner, I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah,
I think in this deck, it's worse than elsewhere.
Twilight Summoner, I mean, let me just remind myself what Twilight Summoner is. It's the plus,
format of 1/1.
Oh, the 1/1 with the faceless, right?
Yeah, it's 1/1 that turns into a 5/5. So, I mean, like, overall, like, you have a ton of healing in your deck. So, I mean, you have a lot of time, and it's very mana efficient for if you want to take a bunch of face damage, right? Because they ignore it and punch you in the face.
Right.
And then your 1/1 turns and gets to trade with something, hopefully, and turn into a 5/5. So, maybe that's the idea, but I'm not a big fan of it either.
Okay. I don't really understand why there's humility when there's already the. You know, Equality Wild Pyro.
Because
and
4 mana 7/7.
Yeah, 4 mana 7/7. If anybody's watching the show right now, the big takeaway is 4 mana 7/7. It's out there, guys.
Why not
it's
just
out
do
there.
Two keepers instead of.
Two keepers?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It's still 3/3.
Well,
I mean,
you gotta
keep it on. Oh, I see what you mean.
You gotta kill the Tunnel Trog.
You gotta kill the Tunnel Trog, too.
You gotta
so
Quality Pyro.
The mana efficiency.
Yeah.
No, but I see your point, but it's like it's a good one of in every Paladin control list very often. But I guess there could be a substitution.
It
I just think he's really heavy on the fours. You know, it's very heavy on the fours.
I mean, it's a control pally that's like late game Death Rattle. That's pretty much what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it synergizes with Wild Pyromancer to help you be able to clear things and in case you like don't have the time
spell.
To save for equality, right?
Yeah,
just a cheap spell that can cycle with that and it allows get some of these six drops out of your hand because you have like a lot of big minions in this deck and big minions are like a pain in the ass to play. So now you're able to just like your opponent has one minion on the field. It's really threatening. Oh no, I have to remove it. I can't play anything.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just humility that and drop Tyrion. So like you're able to much more get your eight drops out of your hand and your six and whatnot out of your hand.
Yeah.
Definitely easier
to weave
in. Right?
Definitely interesting.
Noxious's favorite card, Forbidden Healing, that we were just talking about.
Exactly.
Running
two of them.
Yeah. It's a really good healing card.
And he's got Rag, too. Rag is really good, too. So, I mean, guarantees you that 8, and you got to kill that sucker. So, this is cool. I'll probably try this,
too,
later.
You don't have to kill it. You just put 1 damage on it and continue going face, and it heals itself for 1.
Okay, that's true. that's true. 50-50 shot at it, right? It still hits you in the face, though. Right?
Yeah,
Rag can attack, right? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Live by the smork, die by the smork.
That's right. Okay, let's just pick another one. Let's see. Firebat, you got one?
Let's see.
Let me pick one too. Oh, I got one. Let me go here.
Alright, you go.
Reno Nuzoth. Here we go. Rogue. Reno Nuzoth Rogue. That sounds cool to me. Let's take a look at this one. Oh, it's all in Japanese and Chinese. Oh, okay, never
that's
mind.
That's what I was telling you about though earlier, right? Like that's the deck I was mentioning is
actually let's
Reno
try to
right now.
That.
Like I thought it would actually be really bad. But it's easy to put one ofs given the amount of people like the amount of cards you can have. That either work with Nuzoth in Rogue, like baseline and the amount of flexibility you get out of these guys.
Okay, this is a great exercise. This is a Value Town exercise here. Okay, based on the illustrations and the mana, we gotta call out all these cards. So
okay, I can do
it. I'll give it a go.
All right, here we go.
Good luck, Cap. It's your
MC Tech, South Sea Squid, Tomb Pillager, Zeril.
What's that for?
Epic Skip, Asher Drake, Shadowcaster, Auctioneer, Sylvanas, Reno, Thoth. All right, I missed about three.
Okay, Skulker is that other five there, I believe.
Okay. Yeah,
there's a Twilight Summoner on four, and there's the Skulker.
Summoner. Oh, yeah, Twilight Summoner.
The seven? Sprint. Neutral.
Seven Sprint, right?
Oh, that's Sprint.
Yeah, that's Sprint.
Yeah, on the left, though, you call the right side of it. It's a Reno deck, so there's like
two sides. It's a double call on Reno deck. That's why there's no English. Okay, so is that that's a Farseer on the bottom there? Is that right? Three drop?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a Farseer.
Good job.
That's Van Cleef, right?
SI.
What's that? What's the
one? Shadow Strike.
Oh, that's Shadow Strike. Oh, okay. That's Fan of Knives, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then Loot Hoarder. Yep. Thalnus.
Yep.
Dang, that's a hard Hester. One. Yeah, Huckus.
Yeah.
Blood Cultist, the one.
Oh,
two,
Blood Cultist,
one,
you're so
that
good.
Buffs itself.
Deadly Poison.
And then, what is that? What is that?
It's a zero. Cat's favorite card, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Journey from Below.
Yeah. Oh, Journey from Below. That's what it is.
How do you miss your own favorite card?
The art is irrelevant.
It's not named after me, sorry.
All right, what's the zero?
Fiery Cat.
What's the zero above it?
That's the next
backstab?
Step.
No, yeah. No, backstab.
Backstab.
Prep.
Okay, oh, Prep has the... Oh, yeah, okay. That's all right, cool. That was definitely interesting.
So now we're sure about card images.
All right, now that we're sure about what cards are in this thing... I guess it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, I have no clue.
All right, might have to pick a different one. Yeah, might have to pick another one there. That one's just kind of like, it's kind of hard to see it all.
Chipperino here.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Moz.
Oh, is it? Where is it?
Well, no, I'm just saying we're just playing Chipperino.
Oh, Chipperino, yeah, exactly right. How about mid-range Evolve Shaman? How about that?
Hope it's in English.
Okay, let's see this. All right, it's only got one evolve, so it's got a storm crack in it.
Storm crack's not that bad. Like most of the time, you use crackle for like clearing the board anyway.
Yeah,
yeah.
Usually rolls three, but I mean this way you get it to roll four.
Yeah, that's true. It's not the greatest.
You don't feel bad when it overshoots, right? Like you know that moment where you overshoot by two, you're like, I hate crackle. Yeah. I wish it had gone face.
Yeah. It's got two jeweled scarabs. Gosh, that's so. Jeweled scarab always seems so
free,
slow to
it's
me.
It's a free three drop, dude. It's so good with evolve. Oh my god.
That's true. It is.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it seems good. A little greedy for the amount of like early. One Earthshock, one Lightning Bolt, one Tunnel Trog.
Yeah.
And then,
You told him up, man. You told him up for the thing from below. That's what you do. Like you're spamming the hero power until you get that free six drop.
You did.
I don't know why he didn't put the Prophet in the deck, though. The Prophet needs to be in
the
deck.
The Prophet is so good.
Prophet is great, yeah.
I even need Prophet in every Evolution deck. That card's insane.
Every single one of them, yeah.
Prophet, for those... I mean, bring up Prophet for those who don't know what it is. You know, I've been putting the Drake and Volcanic Drake in my decks, too. Just anything that can cost nothing, basically, I've been trying to get in.
With destruction, I guess you play like double destruction, double like with all the four
something like
on
that.
Overloads, and then you slap in two Drakes on top of. I mean, it's like six cards that you're hoping to reduce the cost of, so maybe it's harder to make work. And seven is a hit or miss. Like, there's a lot of sevens that you're just like you're happy to get, but some of them are kind of awkward.
Yeah, some of them are.
I think the Drake. Yeah. Some of them are Dr. Boom. Some of them are Acid Maw. You got like the very poor lines.
Thunder Bluff. I don't know if I like Thunder Bluff in this, but it's so slow. It's I can barely ever pull that off, the Thunder Bluff play.
I mean, like think from below again. I keep going back to that card, but that basically gives you the ability to stabilize as like you can protect your following turn, with one thing from below that you drop on, like you play a minion plus thing from below, and then you're guaranteed to be able to have the initiative on the follow-up turn, and then you can just play that Valiant at that point. That's usually what those players end up
doing. Oh, I see what you mean. Because you're guaranteed.
So simple. Totem, too, so that Valiant also works within as well.
Yeah, that's true. If you haven't... That's...
And Tuskar Totemic and Flame Tank Totem, they all count towards things from below and work with Thunderbluff Valiant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you guys think about Bloodlust as a finish?
I think it should be played now as a one of more than before.
I think it's better than Evolve, because every time I get this giant board and I'm like, I can evolve it. And then it's like, well, if this was Bloodlust, they'd be dead.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. No, there's been many times I'm playing against a guy and he like evolves the deck and it's like, it's either lateral, you know, like a complete lateral play, and then they can't attack with them anyways, right? Or it's worse. And so it's in some crazy way, it's worse. It's like, what? That's a shitty play.
I get a guy evolve his totem golem into a Warsong commander. I felt so bad.
Oh, that's terrible.
I felt so bad.
Oh, wow.
I was like, poor dude.
Oh, that is pretty terrible.
Oh, bad. Earlier, you can actually evolve all your totems in the Doomsayer.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's pretty bad, man.
That is definitely
scary. You guys
scary.
Would not believe how many times my totems turned into Doomsayers while I was laddering. Really? Like, unlosable positions where it's just like, all right, my Evolve's going to finish the game out here. I take all value trades with my whole boards, Evolve, you know, Doomsayer, GG.
You know what that means? That means you can only play Evolve when you have two Evolves. Right? So you can play them back to back.
I actually think if you're going to play Evolve, you need to play two, because otherwise, because your totems can't be two drops. I would never play Evolve as a one of, because it's suicide. Like, 15% of your games are gone. Like, you throw them out.
Right.
Well, with the the six drop guy that reduces cost in your hand, like, that card is so strong. If you draw both of those in your early hand and then find like two Evolve, I've had a game where I got. I think it was like turn. It was either turn four or turn five. I got two Ragnaroses.
Wow!
Because I just double
that sounds balanced.
I turned it into a seven drop, then turned it into an eight drop, and then just hit him in the face for 16.
Oh my god!
Did you say greetings, that friend, or did you say that was astounding,
spectacular?
that was spectacular. I don't know what they say now.
Yeah, what does Shaman say? Do you guys know what does Shaman's?
Something like that was impressive.
Was it that was impressive? I know Priest is wow. Yeah, it's like the latest one, and then Druid is spectacular.
It's like by the light or by the holy light.
Oh, is it? Okay,
something like that. Okay. It's like by the holy light. Like, what is this? It just seems so.
It's OMG.
Like, so
it's basically OMG.
Yeah, okay. It's really, oh my god! It's exactly that. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. See if there's anything else. Anything else stand out? I guess Firebats hasn't picked anything officially, but. Should we talk about the Patron Warrior, maybe, or something?
Sure, yeah. I played a lot of Patron Warrior. Okay, they got...
She's one of these.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, like, that big on the decks most people are playing. Like, everyone's trying to throw in Wild Pyromancer. I didn't think that was, like, necessary to throw in. The main card that's really good is Blood to Ichor. I don't know how to say
Blood
it.
Ichor, but Ichor, the one.
That card's insane. Like, definitely a two-up for sure. Like, the reason why it's so good, too, is it allows you to just get off your battle rages so much easier, because now you have that flexible, like, one-drop in your patron deck, which you've never had one-drops in patron before. Then it has two health, so it can take damage from whirlwinds or whatever, and then you can battle rage it. So, like, it's way more consistent that you draw cards. So even though you don't have Deathbite, you can still make patrons pretty consistently, because you draw so many cards as long as you play that card, because you have more minions to be able to get off your battle rage and such.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. I originally didn't think it was going to be that good. Like, I'd rather have, you know, maybe Taskmaster or, I mean, Inner Rage is still probably in it, but I was playing around with that, and then I just said, ah, screw it, I'm just going to play Blood to a core or whatever. And yeah, it's been great, actually. Ever since I've played it, it's been great.
Yeah, and it's good against aggro, too. You just, like, they play a one-drop, and you just throw it at their one-drop, and then
get a 2/2.
Now you have... Yeah, you have a 2/2 against their 1/2, because most of the 1-drops people are playing are like 1/3s.
1/3s, exactly. It's pretty much, it's actually getting standard, it seems like. Every single class is going to be getting one of those.
Yeah.
Blood have you seen much of the Nezahth's first mate, by the way? Like the 1/1 that gives you a 1/3 weapon?
I've played it in Pirate.
Have you seen any of it?
It's kind of... It's definitely weaker than I thought. Like, it's... Because it has one health, like, you can't do much to it, like, and then...
I mean, the metagame is different, right? So you don't have as many, like, Leopard Gnome is no longer every time opening against you. It's not like Fiery Bat is in every single deck.
Except Hunter now. Yeah. Hunter's like the only class that just doesn't have like a decent one drop to just throw out there.
Yeah, exactly. And then a lot of times you have Fiery War Axe too, so it just negates the weapon. Like you get one swing from it anyways. And I don't know. I mean, it's a nice to have a one drop for a warrior, especially a pirate warrior, but it's definitely not as good as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a lot better.
Well, the metagame doesn't support it. It's good still, but it's just... Yeah.
I mean, you can really snowball with the pirate warrior if you just play all of the pirates and then, like, upgrades and then play that guy. If you get that guy in one and just start upgrading that weapon, it snowballs so hard. Like,
it can, but then, but again, you still end up having, like, it depends how many weapons you play. Like, if you don't play that many weapons,
you can throw Alcaroth in there and get some extra weapons. You might end up with
I've been playing defenders, you know, like King's Defender with some of the taunts and stuff.
Yeah.
Get a poison blade.
Yeah, so... but the 3-3 is the thing that you try to set up, right? No, the 3-4, sorry. That's the thing that you're trying to set up. And it's just like, do I set it up on Fiery War Axe or do I set it up on the hook? And it ends up being this funny...
Honestly, wherever you set it up, sometimes. As long as you upgrade twice, like, just make sure that you hit at least twice with an upgrade hit, like, ability, and you should be okay. Because there's no Death Bite, your point of reference is... nothing. Like, you have to go at some point to 3. If you can reach 4, then you're like, there's nothing. It's Fiery War Axe as baseline, so if you can reach the 3 attack threshold, then you're already kind of doing okay.
Yeah,
if that hook is there and you get, you know, South Sea on 2 and then turn 3, whatever it is, like, there's an interesting curve with like Fiery War Axe on 2 where your turn 3 can be used for something else than upgrading your weapon and you keep that charge saved up. And on turn 4, you go for the upgrade Dread Corsair plus the Bloodsail Cultist. That is like
That is a
really like that Blackwater turn. Pirate. Weapons cost 2 less.
I've been playing with that too.
Tentacle for arms.
I haven't used it yet.
I've been playing with it too. Yeah, I haven't figured out how like what the best like moment is, because you can get like a free War Axe right with it, and then and then a 1 Corsair like after that.
Might be worth actually throwing a Gorehell in there.
Oh my God!
For cheaper.
How busted would it be to play Gladiator's Longbow on 5 after you job this on 4 and Hunter?
God, maybe Goron.
Let me just stop you there and remind you. 4 mana 7-7.
It is Gladiator.
4 mana 7-7. Hey, but you know, we have a 5...
You're already dead.
Hey, but we have a 5 mana 7 weapon, though, Barbat. We can only take 14 damage, right?
Wait. The thing is, we don't take the damage because we attack into the 7-7 with our weapon.
That's what I'm talking about. 5. Well, that's after
and
they
use
hit
the
2-5,
so...
Yeah.
No, they haven't.
Well, it depends if we've gone. Depends if we're going first. Yeah, depends if we're going first.
We always go first. That's the rule when you're making up these scenarios. You're always first.
So, Blood of the Brave. That's one card that's been something that I feel like is pretty.
So good.
It's very essential to these decks that I've been playing around with pirate wise. Pretty cool. It's like a 2/6 enrage plus 3 attack, but it's a pirate, I believe, right?
No, I don't think it's a pirate.
It's not a pirate? Okay, I thought
it was.
Not
a pirate.
No.
It's just an enrage card, but it's like a 2/6 taunt for 4 with the enrage plus 3 is like actually insane. Like, I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was, but it's like really solid. Like, I've been playing 2 of them in my patron deck, and any sort of tempo warrior builds I've been playing, like...
It just falls at the right time, you know what I mean? Like, when you get that captain's... Sea Captain or whatever on the board, you know, where it's definitely vulnerable at that point, right? Like that 4-drop big taunt is like just perfect. And then the 7-7 kills it, but then it's fine. at least the 7-7 didn't hit you in the face that time, right? You know?
I mean, the thing is, like, Shaman has the best answers to their own threat. That's the weird thing. Like, the best answer is Hex, and that's it. And you're looking like Feral Spirit, Hex, whatever.
There's Shadow Word Death. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there.
No, it's honestly, like, the thing is, if you're playing Priest, you're not following up with threat. Shaman just hexes it, and then they move on to their own turn 4 or turn 5, which right now is really powerful. And it's just one of those situations where, like, the class... It's like Azure Drake. Not Azure Drake, but Twilight Drake. Mm-hmm. Like, if you ever have a metagame where Handlock is good, then Earthshock and Hex just become busted. And... I feel like the 4-mana 7-7 is Handlock-like in the way that it operates, and you kind of need that Hex at that exact moment. Mm. If you don't have it, you just get rolled over.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You guys been you guys been playing BGH at all?
I left one in my control warrior, and it's all right. You know, someone drops a rag, you're set. But
yeah,
it doesn't feel as good as it did before.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha. Definitely. Okay, well, let's wrap up the deck talk here. I think we've covered a lot of stuff there. Hopefully the viewers enjoyed that. Let's talk some Reddit now, since we have got Kat here and first time Kat's on. And for those of you that don't know, you know, Kat manages the subreddit and all the mods and everything there. So I guess just talk a little bit about doing it, Kat. We know you're a volunteer, right? And
I need to first. I actually have to talk about Firebat.
Okay.
And Firebat won the world championship at BlizzCon. We were so excited. We're like, oh, it's our first time. We're at BlizzCon, and he won. This is a big deal. Let's try and get him to do an AMA. And he said, "No, Reddit is too mean."
Whoa! Wow! Calling you out.
Oh, so we are a bunch of jerks there. And you're right. It is volunteers. So we just. Every 3-4 months, we say, hey, does anyone else want to help out? Have open round of applications and join in. So I joined as a volunteer about 2 years ago. And then our old head mod left. He just said, hey, I don't really have enough time to be doing this anymore. I feel like leaving. Who wants my spot?
Right.
And we're like, well, we don't know what to do. So I just said, I'll try and do it, I guess. And I've had it since.
Okay. And Matt's a long time. I mean, that's... Yeah, it's like a year and a half now. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess talk about just the challenges of it. You know, one thing about the subreddit, you know, a lot of times being mod and especially head mod, it's like, I would say it's a thankless job, you know, just because, you know, a lot of people take, I think we don't appreciate necessarily that you guys are doing this for free. And then when you guys make a mistake, we just get all over you guys. But whenever you guys are doing great things, we never, you know, we never say anything. Right. So, I guess what are some of the things what motivates you to do it? I guess that's the first question.
Well, talking about how some people get on our case, the feedback is pretty 50-50. You'll make some hey, you know, we have this rule, and you'll have half the people saying, great, I'm so tired of seeing this, and the other half saying, no, let us post whatever we want. And you really can't please everybody, so you just try and find that happy medium. I get hate mail and good messages in mod mail every day. And it's fun. I get to see a lot of the members of the community. We actually kind of collaborated with Blizzard to push out that big FAQ yesterday. We were able to send them questions about card interactions and put that together for everyone, which was a lot of fun.
So here's a question.
Get a little,
Do you reach out to Blizzard for stuff like that, or do they reach out to you for stuff like that?
That time they actually reached out to us. Same with the card reveal. Previous expansions we'd been begging, like, hey, Tempestorm and Hearthhead and Hearthbone get card reveals. Can we have one?
No, right?
They're already all assigned. Nice. And this time they offered us one, and it was super exciting. So we got to do that big mysterious countdown. We corrupted the subreddit with whispers, and then we just stuck the little guy up there on the header, Xeris. And when we have that creative freedom to just say, hey, this is a fun idea, let's try it. It's really interesting to see, you know, the community was hunting for clues, and we kind of made it this scavenger hunt. It was a fun time.
No, it's definitely, you know, just keeps everything, you know, just keeps the Reddit just more fresh and, you know, unique, right? Just our own Hearthstone type of community thing, which is great. You know, one of the things I love about our subreddit is just the right, you know, just everything that's on the right side. You know, whether it's the schedule, like the show right now, right, is showing up there. There's a calendar. There's the whole, you know, just whatever top streamers are there. And then also, you know, check out these streamers, you know, that tend to be smaller streamers.
We can't
streamers.
Take credit for that. That was the streams was actually Frodan's idea. The CSGO subreddit had something similar. He approached us, and we have some great, really smart programmers who are probably belittling themselves by volunteering for Reddit. And they're the ones who... take care of the calendar and the sidebar.
Yeah, but that's, you know, again, it's just all in our subreddit, which is really, really great. Because you don't, again, you see some in CSGO for sure, but for the most part, in a lot of the other games, like League of Legends or StarCraft and some of the others, you don't see anything like this. So that's, you know, again, that's something to appreciate, I guess, from the standpoint of our subreddit and it being community, more like our community site.
I really like to call us the one-stop shop. We're like the Walmart of Hearthstone. You come here, everything.
Oh, God.
It's a little cheap. But sometimes you need to go to Home Depot, so that's why there's the competitive Hearthstone.
Right.
You know, and we plug our sister subreddits, I guess, on the sidebar as well. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of our mods who do cross-mod for other Hearthstone subreddits, other Blizzard subreddits, and all the Blizzard mods. We like to get together and see how we can bounce and cross-promote and keep track for each other.
Right, right. Okay. That's definitely great. So far about it, are you gonna do an AMA like anytime soon on Reddit?
I guess if I win again, I'll do an AMA on Reddit. I was just like, I was really new to esports and wasn't really exposed to it very much. And my only experience was with Reddit was my first tournament I played in that anybody watched. I mulliganed away Innervate, and people were like, who the hell is this? Why does he get to play in this tournament? It's a tournament I spent like a month and a half qualifying for. And they're like, yeah, if he can play, why can't we play? He should kill himself. He's terrible. And that was my first experience with Reddit. So I didn't really like participate in online forums or anything before. And I didn't really want to deal with it. So I just kind of like ignored it and never looked at it again. But now I'm realizing Reddit's a really great tool for gaining exposure and being part of the scene. And there's a lot of great people in there and all that stuff. So it's like something I need to work on, but it's like I'm so antisocial and just want to kind of do my own thing that I'm not great at promoting myself.
It's okay, Firebat. I've had two people tell me to kill myself just this morning. So
just this morning. It happens to us all.
The routine suicide suggestion.
Well, what
that player, Crescendo, he thought he was terminally ill, and he posted this really beautiful farewell post, and Blizzard actually put him in the game as flavor text on Dreadsteed, and Last of Three is actually doing. So kind of a happy ending there.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
Plus all the memes, you know.
Yeah, all the memes. Yes, you can't miss all the memes.
Too confusing for new players.
No, definitely.
Don't have the technology.
It's just if there's any way to make the community a little more welcoming to up and coming players, it's like if once you have any amount of fans and you've been streaming for a while or being in the scene for a while, Reddit's a lot friendlier than when you're just completely an unknown nobody.
Yeah.
Like trying to get yourself out there. But I mean, like, I guess that's just because there's so many unknown nobodies that try and get their name out there. And then
it's always been like that, though. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's always been.
I mean, that's just life, right?
Yeah. That's true. That's true, too.
Yeah.
I think part of that is a lot of people don't really understand how Reddit works. And even though we're volunteers and we get to do a lot of what we want, there are a few set rules that we are required to enforce by the admins. So it's us butting against the users and the admins, and we're kind of caught in between.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan, when he first started getting some fame, started trying to submit posts in there and wanted to do an AMA. So we had to kind of guide him into doing an AMA so that it would follow not only our rules, but also Reddit's rules. And now everyone knows him for that camel deck. It's great.
Yeah.
And then and helping us with those streams, we have the random streams on the sidebar. Real quick, for anyone who doesn't know how that works, we have the top three live, and then the bottom five are random of the top 50. So if you have 10 viewers, every 5 minutes it refreshes and you might pop up there.
Right.
I sometimes hop into those random streams to check people out, and I see, hey, I came and saw you from Reddit, or I saw you from the streamer Saturday, you know, I'll give you a follow.
Yeah, that helps out a lot. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like, we all know the Twitch ranking system isn't the best because it's as simple as you get. So they never really, you know, feature or even, you know, just random type of just allow you to find random Twitch or low viewing Twitch streams, you know, that you might be able to find somebody cool and maybe it just helps some of these streamers, up and coming streamers. So that's really, really cool. No, I definitely think that's a really nice thing that we do in our subreddit. And again, like, you know, we've talked before, I know me and Noxious especially, we've talked that, you know, Reddit's pretty much like the community site at this point. And you know, that's the thing, like, you guys are volunteers and this is our community site. There's just something that's, you know, not lined up there, you know, and from the standpoint of you know, how you guys are, I guess, rewarded for that, because, you know, if you're getting shit on for it and it's like you're not getting paid for it or anything like that, you know, there's obviously something that's not right and all that. So I guess, how do you deal with that?
Volatile place. Yeah.
How do you deal with that? I mean, that's probably the biggest challenge, right?
Well, like I said, we do occasionally get just random positive messages. Hey, I appreciate what you guys do. And that's really fun. I was able to go to BlizzCon and really awkwardly interview Firebat. We were able to work with Blizzard on this FAQ. So there's a lot of fun projects like the card reveal that gets us really excited, because we are Hearthstone players. We're fans of Warcraft. We're fans of Blizzard. Wouldn't really be spending so much time if I wasn't.
Yeah.
I will say that none of the mods are Legend players. I think Chad has figured that out by now. But it's just...
doesn't matter. The majority of the people playing Hearthstone are not Legend players, so that's true. That just means you represent more of the community.
You're more like them.
You're more like
relate
them.
To you.
Exactly.
And we're still growing. We're about to hit 350,000 subscribers.
That's crazy. I know.
We're that's about to be in the top 100 subreddits on all of Reddit.
That's
and
awesome.
It's only about a dozen active mods, and some of them are only doing the CSS. It's about 10 of us actually like reading comments and doing moderation and things like that.
What is the process of being added as a mod? I mean, obviously you don't take anybody and everybody. So
my disclaimer real quick is that every subreddit does it different. There is a subreddit literally called Mod Everyone, where anyone could be a mod and it's just chaos. That's the whole purpose of the sub, is if you want to be a mod on a sub, mod everyone. Right. That's a thing.
That's awesome.
But for us, we have applications about every 4 months or so, where we just say, hey, tell us a little bit about yourself. We might be specifically looking for EU mods for different time zones. We might be wanting someone to help us with the calendar or help us with the look and feel.
Yeah.
And then we take about a month to read through them and get people on Skype, kind of chat with them, give them like hypothetical scenarios on how would you react to this? If you woke up one morning and you were the only mod, what would you do?
Right. Right.
And bring people in, and, you know, I have to say we're not all friends, actually. It's good to have a little bit of bumping
conflict
heads
sometimes.
Because if we all agreed and all did the same rules, we really couldn't check ourselves.
Right,
and
right.
People think, oh, you guys just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Maybe a little to an extent, but I have, you know, hey, I think we should make this rule, and I have three people saying, that's terrible, the community will hate that. We have a democracy back here and we vote. So even though I'm the owner of the subreddit and I am technically in charge, I knew that if I ever stepped in as a dictator, all my volunteers would leave and I would be left there by myself. So I really depend on these guys for the support, and I give them a lot of freedom to give me feedback and to handle the community how they see fit.
Well, that's definitely good to know, because I'm sure there's some people out there that just think it's like just one person there that's just picking and choosing when to, like, you know, comment about a Raynad post or not.
Yeah. I'm actually a Raynad fan, and people don't believe that, but there are mods who don't like him. Just like, you know, we are all fans of different streamers. So I think that wasn't handled very well when some mods said they weren't fans of him. But I know that on the show a couple of weeks ago, you and Raynad did go over the Reddit issues between him, and we've since talked to him, and I think we're not best friends, but we're okay with each other now.
Working relationship.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
It's beneficial to everyone. You know, if he posts on Reddit, we get traffic and our community gets excited, and then he gets traffic. It's better for us all to like each other to an extent.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, definitely. It's easier when the entire community is kind of working in tandem as opposed to being kind of antagonistic to one another.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's why when that Oddshot issue came up where people were posting Oddshot clips and stealing streamers' VODs, we came up with this rule that if you want, we'll take down Oddshot videos if you're the creator. And so bigger streamers can post the traffic themselves, but smaller streamers, if they want the recognition and they want to get their name out there so people can follow their channel, they'll leave it up.
Right. No, I think that's a good policy. Well, I mean, I just want to say, you know, I definitely, at least me personally, I'm sure probably these two guys too, I mean, we appreciate the work. Again, like, you know, you're volunteering your time. You've got a job too that you, you know, come home from every day, and then, you know, you you go through all of these mod messages and, you know, make decisions based on what is our community site, in my opinion, right now. So, you know, big thanks for that, Kat.
Thank you. A couple of small things I just want to say. Some of you might not know that Ben Brode and Yang Wu actually got shadow banned from Reddit by the admins a couple of months ago.
I remember that. That was fun.
And they came to us for help, and there was nothing we could do about it. I was like, we can talk with the admins with you, but
why did they get banned? What was the reasoning for it?
Yang Wu posted a Twitter link, and I think they were all at the office, voted through the Twitter link. They saw the traffic was coming from the same place.
Got it.
And
got it.
A bot that's just automatic. Crashing down.
Yeah. It's just like the entirety of the...
You can't do that, guys.
Yeah. There's a lot of misconceptions about what we can and can't do.
You can't
do
that.
So when he asks us for help, I'm like... Sorry.
Dude, I should be a living example of that. But but anyways,
really, really glad that you and I have a co-working relationship too, Jamie.
Of course, Chris. Of course. But why don't we take some questions? We're running out of time. We've been kind of going over actually by a few minutes, but I promised we'd have questions today, so let's do it. Let's see. Some of these are just generic. If you have any questions, just tweet them to @ChamMV, and I'll read, let's say, two of them, and then we'll call it a day. Do you guys have this? All of these are just like, what do you think metagame will be? It's like, we can't tell yet, guys.
That's really
tough. We cannot tell yet, guys. Don't ask those.
But I mean, I imagine Shaman's going to be like the biggest contender. That's going to be the biggest thing to beat. And I'm guessing Warrior maybe at some point.
Warrior?
4-mana 7-7. That's the
4-mana 7-7.
Well, like Nacho said, everyone's playing the new cards. He thinks Elise is going to be good, but who wants to play an older card right now? Nobody.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no one plays with the older stuff, but it's kind of like when League of Explorers came out. Like, everybody had all these cards that they played, that they loved, and they found were cool.
Yeah.
But, like, gave it a month, and not even a month, like 3 weeks, and everybody was back to playing standard Druid with, like, Naxx Shaman's cards with nothing. Like, nothing from the expansion. So it's just, give it time. Like, the hype will settle. Not die down, but, like, settle, and then... You know, you'll see what the metagame looks like. It's really hard to anticipate, given the amount of moving parts.
All of, like, top 100 right now is, like, Zoo and Face Shaman.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
Like, it hasn't changed. Like, it was Zoo and Face Shaman pre-expansion, after expansion. Most of top 100 is still Zoo and Face Shaman.
And
it's
that's
better for someone.
It's not surprising. It's just because there's always a large amount of cards that remain the same in those two decks. You know,
right,
and even Cancer Hunter, you know, even Face Hunter, right?
Well,
it's the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it might not be good. It's just like they might not be the best decks. It's just what people were playing before the expansion came out. It's sort of like in their mindset of what to build, because it's very similar to what they were playing before, and it was working for them then because they were top 100, and now they're still top 100.
It's the most refined too. Like if you only have to swap two or three or four cards, it's still pretty darn refined. Okay, so Benjamin Sunnit. Is it Sunnit? Yeah, Sunnit Karma. He actually has a question that I kind of let pass just because we were talking about other stuff. But he wants to know, why did Firebat Mulligan innervate way back when? If you remember, like, why would you ever innervate, I guess. All right, Mulligan innervate is the question.
I wasn't trying to. Just got nervous and misclicked.
Okay.
It's like something I'd worked so hard to be able to do is to be able to compete in Hearthstone, because it's such a hard scene to sort of break into. Well, it's easier now, I guess, but like in the original like open beta scene, it was like literally impossible to get to any of the tournaments because like these players were like known from other things and then got brought in, and Hearthstone wasn't being taken too seriously as an esport, and I wanted to compete. And so by the time I finally got the connections, did all the requirements to be able to actually get in the tournament, my first opening hand in the tournament, I freaked out, and then Innervate was gone. I hit that confirm button, and I watched the Innervate fly away in slow motion, just, no!
That's when you wishing it came right back into your hand.
It was mostly a mistake, right? So it was a mistake.
Yeah. Okay. It was just like straight up thinking, like, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought you were like,
it's all right, it happens. I guess that explains it for all the people who thought it was intentional.
Yeah.
And that we were just bad at the game. Like, why the hell is he even playing Hearthstone?
Innervate. Still broken, folks. Still broken. So All right, let's see. Let's see, great answer. All right, one last card. Sir Nazgul 6 asks, what kind of C'Thun warrior, control warrior lists, I guess, would you make?
I think there's one already out there, right? I've tried the...
There's a Just Saiyan posted a C'Thun control warrior list.
Let's just take a look at that. Yeah. Well, go ahead, Firebat Wally.
There's like a bunch of different ways you can take C'Thun warrior, right? Like you can go with the tempo warrior shell, which was the like deck Zixo took, the number one legend with Whirlwind and Battle Rage as the card engine with the Accolade of Pains and just sort of Moron curve stuff instead of having like just a car and healing. That shell works really well with the C'Thun stuff because you're just playing minions on curve and that deck wants to play minions on curve,
right?
So that's the shell like I originally jumped to and thought would be better, but I think the control shell is actually stronger than that. Like, you just get fatigued out by other control decks, and you're not that great against aggro with that shell, so I don't think it's good enough. And then with the control shell, with, like, Justicar and things like that, and then you can get the... I think it's, like, an 8-9 for 8.
It brings your C'Thun back.
The collar, right? It's like collar or whatever.
Yeah, you play like a pretty mediocre control warrior deck, just pretty standard, just all the slams, bashes, execute shield slams, like all the same cards, and then you just throw in the C'Thun crap, and then it's like pretty good, and then you get the C'Thun off whenever you can, and it just clears their board and causes them a huge trouble to be able to deal with, and then you play that guy and get it back to life, so it slows down the game even more for you and makes up for the disadvantage of playing C'Thun cards. But the biggest problem I ran into it was... you can't beat real control decks. You're like a pseudo control deck. Your win condition's like more of a board clear than a win condition. So you need to have a little more oomph in there somehow, like Elise or something, if you want to actually be able to beat like Priest or things like that. Because otherwise, like Priest just entombs your C'Thun and you're dead. Like,
good lord, man, I think like the feeling of anger that I had when I saw Entomb the first time. I'm a Priest player. I love that card, man. I love it because I play Priest. But the feeling I had that it was just make the control mirrors so toxic, like, that has never been truer. Because we see a lot of people trying out those slow decks, and it just, like, there's no point. Like, you start against a Priest as a control deck, just, you know, roll over and die before, like, don't even waste 30 minutes of your life. Don't even do it.
Unless you have an OTK combo, then Priest can
right, like
you.
The Young Dragon Hawk.
Exactly.
Dude, have you seen anyone run that? Like, the Young Dragon Hawk in a Rage Charge?
No, isn't it just worse than the old one?
It's worse than Worgen.
No, the big one, right?
Yeah, it's worse than the Worgen combo.
I mean, you don't want to use Inner Rage with it.
The only thing that makes it better is it could be a 2-card routine damage combo, right? That's the upside. Yeah. Well, it's 10 mana
cards,
still, right?
In a matter of cards.
It's almost the same. So, if anything, it's almost the same.
But, like, if you want to actually use Inner Ages with it, which I don't think you want to do with the big Dragonhawk combo, because you just wanted the flexibility of it only being 2 cards, but I don't know.
It's not big enough if that's...
Couldn't it be just one of those added win conditions in a control deck that you just kind of slap it in there and forget about it, and then at some point you steal a game with it?
Well, like, Warlock does that in, like, their Reno builds and stuff like that. But that's because they have Life Tap. Like, Warrior's card draw.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Never mind.
The card draw is even way worse now because Deathblight's not a card. So it's that's the tricky part with Control Warrior right now, is figuring out how to make your card draw better. And, like, you could add in, like, Blood of Ikor to be able to proc your Acolyte better, but then you're playing a very low-value card to increase your card draw, which means you need more card draw because it's a low-value card, so you get in that weird paradox there with that. So it's, like, really
hard. You add in Finley to compensate, then you turn into Patron, and you're like, fuck this, I'm you just never play Hearthstone again.
Exactly.
So that's, like, the only tricky part with Control Warrior right now is figuring out the right card draw mechanic. Because if you use Elise as a win condition, you do need a little bit of card draw.
Yeah,
I think C'Thun is really tough to build for Warrior. Like, that's the tricky part. Control Warrior, I could definitely see with Nexus Champions or on and whatnot. Like, there's a lot of really okay builds for Control Warrior that are doing really well. That might need more refining, but usually I think they can abuse the unstable metagame. It's the C'Thun decks that I'm just not sure about yet.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, thanks for the questions, guys. I appreciate you guys writing in, and of course, if you still have questions, or all the viewers that still have questions, save them for next week. We'll definitely be talking about all these new cards and decks next week too, so there'll be plenty. The metagame might start to head into some kind of direction maybe after a week. We'll have to see. Actually, Firebat will be playing in an event, so at least we'll see some event meta at that time.
Is it Austin?
No, I'm going to Toronto for, I think it's EGLX, and then
EGLX
from there
is the local tournament we've got in Canada. So
yeah. Are you going to it?
No, I declined the casting gig a long time ago. I'm pretty sure they found other people. I just kind of never followed through.
So I got that one, and then I got Austin that I'm going to. Cool. So I'm going to two back to back.
I'll see you at Austin.
Yeah, I'll be out there too. Yeah. We'll all see each other. Maybe you can cop on. We're planning on doing we're going to try to do a live Valuetown there. So maybe hop on there for. It might probably be a quick show. It won't be like a long show or anything. But never done a live version of my shows like ever. So that might be a good opportunity to do it.
This is live.
Well, I mean, like, all in the same spot. Actually, we did an Unfiltered at BlizzCon, actually. So that was the first one. But Valuetown, we've never been all together and doing just one of those type of shows. But yeah, so why don't we do some shout outs? Kath, you know, and Firebat, great to have you on. I mean, it's been definitely a pleasure. A little bit of, you know, just what the deck and card talk and a little bit of Reddit talk, which is always great. You want to do some shout outs, Kath?
Oh, yeah. Really want to thank, two of my WoW guildies are huge Hearthstone players, Zekjin, Jasmine, hi. But just the Hearthstone subreddit, all the community, you know, I don't create content, you guys create content, you guys shape the community how you want it to be, so thanks for sticking with us, and sure you subscribe if you're just a lurker.
All right, cool. Oh, by the way, Kat's a really good Codenames player, by the way. She's actually really, really good whenever we played at Anaheim the last time. Fireback, you want to do some shout-outs?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Cloud9. My team sends me to tournaments and stuff. And then a shout-out to Blizzard and the people that made Fiery Bat a card. Really happy with that. And I hope they do the same for Oskaka as well, make a cheesecake-related card, because that's what his name means.
Cheesecakes! Get your cheesecakes! Yeah. It's like
cheesecake vendor.
How'd you call that guy? I don't know. Cheesecake vendor would be great.
Yeah, that would be awesome if there was something like that.
That's a little harder to pull off, actually, than yours.
But still, if it becomes like a trend and it keeps happening for all the BlizzCon champions, I'd be really happy.
Yeah, you guys definitely deserve something, like whether it's card back or like your own card back, just you, or a card dedicated to you. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But Noxious, any shout-outs?
Yeah, big shout out to the dev team again for making this expansion. You know, it opens up a lot of opportunities for some of the more, you know, the Johnny players, the guys who like to play with really big stuff that does flashy things, as opposed to some of the more, you know, like Pilot Shredder might look like a flashy card because it does random stuff, but it's really not. It's not explosive or fun in any way. But now we've got like these old gods that you can take like a good deck and make it worse by putting in the old god, but when you win, it looks cooler. So I am sure all the people out there who love that playstyle, including myself, thank you for that. So, yeah.
Right.
Shout out to you guys.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely the baseline. I mean, the basic deck has improved by a lot. I mean, at least you get C'Thun. So, and a lot of those vanilla-like C'Thun cards are pretty cheap. So, all those Johnny players or whatever you call them, I'm sure they're having a great time. But big thanks to you three for doing the show today. Big thanks to all the viewers for coming and watching and just participating in the chat and all of the questions, of course. You can get the VOD or watch the VOD if you missed any of the show earlier at youtube.com/ChamMV shortly after the show, probably like about 45 minutes or so after the show. And then you can listen to it on audios. I know a lot of you folks like to listen to it on work, at work, or on the way to work. You can find that on iTunes or on the Google Music/podcast. You know that they just recently started their podcast or opened up the podcast section, so you can find Valuetown there now too. And if you like it, only if you like it, leave a nice review there, and it definitely helps the SEO for the show. So I really appreciate it if you do that. And a big shout out to our patrons too. So if you want to support the show too, you can go to patreon.com/valuetown and become a new patron. Just a big quick shout out to CJ Hines, Kadel Arn Wolden, Peyton Duke, Shane Sherman, Jacob Sebastian Fell, Gary Duchess, Atomic Junkie, Vincent Gobel, and Josh Silvestri. Big thanks to those patrons. And every week we're just going to pick, you know, different patrons or random patrons and our top patrons, give a shout out. So big thanks to that. To them. Okay, so that's going to be it for Value Town. Until next week, for Devious Cat, Firebat, Noxious, and myself, Chainman V, we'll see you next week. Later.